what would you say you do here?
There's not a single job in this town. There is nothing, nada, zip. Yeah, unless you want to work 40 hours a week.
What if this is as good as it gets?
You want answers?
My job is to make sure that you do your job, pretty much in your face.
I want the truth!
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
You can't handle the truth!
This is going to be a great day.
Good morning, Gary Owen once again with you on a new radio show I'm delighted to be a part of, and it's an exciting show about business. The show is called In Business with Mike Whitaker. This is a show for the number one group who will determine our society's prosperity for a generation. Successful business people, the challenges we face, the answers we need, the debates that make us better, the motivation we need to take risks every day. This show is for the person who makes a living in business and wants to do better and personally feel more confident about their approach in business. The guy that's going to be doing this show, I'm just here as the voice, but the expert is Mike Whitaker. Mike, again, I want to say I'm really excited about doing this radio show for you.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you, Gary.
This program is something that's new for talk radio, and even if you're not in business, I think you're going to enjoy this program. You're going to get a lot of affirmations, I think, wouldn't you say, whether you're in business or using it personally?
Absolutely. Confidence, insight.
Let's tell the audience a little bit about you. Now, you are a successful businessman, and you've got a great testimony about your success, particularly the one that you started years ago in your garage or your kitchen with very little money, and you turned it around and made a huge company out of it.
Well, the startup entrepreneur role I'm really familiar with. I've gone from that to leverage buyouts in the last couple of years and all the things in between. And I have made mistakes. I've had some successes. And all these things combined give you the fruit from which to pick and use on everything we do in life and in business. And so I'm very, very happy to be in a position to help people and talk to these things.
Now, let's talk about this. Now, first of all, Mike is a CEO. You're a coach. You're a business coach. And you do keynote speaking. Talk about some of the things that you do.
When I work with companies, especially in the last year, where we all are resetting our strategy and what we do next, I see the same issues over and over. And so I started to look for ways in which to reach more people, and that led to some of the things about this show. But I do speak, and I talk to companies about their strategies. I find that one of the things I'm delivering groups is higher levels of confidence. Confidence is something that we carry, and you'll hear that over and over in terms of it determines the results of the moment, and then the results determine the confidence we carry into the next moment. And I think in business right now, we need a lot of the confidence we can get.
No question.
Absolutely.
A lot of people who are in business listening to this program are not feeling comfortable. Of course, everybody's uncomfortable about the economy, but the uncertainty about their business. So why do this radio show?
You know, it was last fall when the meltdown started happening in the financial sector, and I thought about the average business person, and I thought, who are our heroes now? The people that I was following, the people I thought were the winners and the market makers in our business world, turned out to be charlatans. A lot of them, they were either crooks, they were over-leveraged, what were they really doing to add value in society? What were they really creating in terms of jobs, prosperity, profits? Well, all the people that we were following in the media, what turns out, that wasn't the right group. That's not my champion. My champion is the guy or gal that goes in and starts and runs or manages a business or a department every day and is creating value. I don't care what the size, but my champion, I realized, again, it was during this meltdown, that we need to champion those folks and not the folks that are making headlines about what financial engineering they did last week. And so I realized that the average business person needs a forum, needs a way to feel like they're part of something bigger, but we also understand what they're going through.
We have a show coming up next week, that's called the blame game, where we're going to take you through all of the things we're blaming right now, ourselves, our customers, our pricing, our employees, our suppliers, government, you name it. We're going to take that blame and turn it into business strategy. Every Saturday morning at 6 a.m., we want you to make it a new habit to start your new business week on Saturday mornings with us. And I would stress this too, whether you own a business or you work within a business, you're going to learn a lot about how to keep a business in a positive light, how to take the information and tips and suggestions and advice that Mike's going to pass along to you and use that information in ways that you didn't think about. Consider this your booster shot of the week, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I get my mind ready for the coming week, and I want to start at Saturday mornings, and that's what the goal is here. You know, and this week's topic is downsizing the business, or right-sizing, if you want to use a positive word for that. It's tough, and we're going to look at detail in that and how and the why and when right after we talk about current events. And I'd also make a point. You mentioned the blame game, you know, and we have downsizing this week. Every topic we talk about is important, even if you don't have the problem right now. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you may need it, but I'm certain that at some point, a friend would be glad you remembered what you heard today or something you heard referenced, because in business, you run the same circle, and you will inevitably find what was that they said? And, you know, we all run through the same problems in business. There's some very, very common ground.
So. By the way, as you listen to this program, Mike has a great website which you'll be able to get. Not only be able to hear the radio shows if you miss one, but you'll also see some video tips that Mike has on a lot of great information for those of you in business. So what's in the business news this week?
You know, one thing that I couldn't help is this giant healthcare massive push by Congress to get it through, and just what it's going to mean to small business owners. And yeah, I don't see anything good yet, personally, looking at whatever new taxes they're going to levy and so on. So I did a little research, and I had a little healthcare coverage debate with some folks that I'm close to that are in the healthcare industry. And I came out with a couple things that I bet the listeners might be interested. There's two fundamental issues going on in healthcare. One is the healthcare, if it's ever going to be fixed, is going to have to be rationed. And rationing means at some point you have to put a value to every month of extended life or health and so on. But the issue I found very interesting was, you know, the healthcare workers are so paranoid to not conduct every test they can. If you come in with a headache, you end up getting a CAT scan in a lot of cases because they can be sued for not doing all they could. And the point about the doctor that I talked to said, listen, I'm going to order that test until the government is the sponsor of the program, and then the attorney can't sue the government. And mm-hmm. when attorneys can't sue the government, we will have some issues solved with liabilities the doctors face today. So the only positive I can find is the government was involved in healthcare a little more. It's very difficult to sue the government. And that will fix some things in the trial world. The other thing that was interesting this week is I read that, you know, those blue boxes, Gary, that you see on the side of the road for postal mail and drop off and all that.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be 400,000 in the United States, and now there's less than 200,000. Just in the last 10 years, that many have dropped off. And mail peaked in 2006 at I don't know how many billion pieces, but the interesting thing is it's going to drop 15% a year by 2011. And what that means for businesses that use the mail, of course, the cost has gone up, but the post office is going to go down to 5 days a week service, most likely. And it will have some issues that business will have to deal with. And there probably will be some opportunities, too, in that you know, the postal service changes. And maybe as the pieces of numbers drop, a piece of mail that gets open gets noticed. So we'll see.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the subject of interest this week, downsizing or right-sizing the business. What's the difference? Is your business in position to downsize? Do you feel the pinch economically, trying to struggle to figure out what to do, where to cut corners? You're going to have to lay off people. You're going to have to cut back on supply. We're going to take a look at the right decisions to make when right-sizing or downsizing your business. When we come back with Mike Whitaker. In Business with Mike Whitaker is the program, and a lot more to learn when we return.
Hey. For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
If you're launching a business and are looking for office space around some very talented people, Idea Gateway in Tulsa has Class A offices that are affordable and overlook Tulsa's beautiful Arkansas River at Riverwalk Crossing. Call 918-528-3800 if you're interested in a challenging entrepreneurial environment. A limited number of offices are available. Call 918-528-3800. That's 918-528-3800.
Hey, Carol, that's your third espresso. What's going on?
I've just been to my doctor, and he's ordered lots of tests. Blood work, scans, x-rays.
Why? Is everything okay?
That's just it. I don't really know the whole story.
Well, I think the best thing you can do is get more involved in your own health care and get some information.
How do I do that?
One of the most important things you can do for your health is to ask questions. Be an active and informed member of your health care team. Remember, your health care is about you. For starters, you should ask what condition you're being tested for, how the tests will be done, how soon you'll get the results, and what happens after that. Learn more about what questions to ask about medical tests and other aspects of your health care. Get the brochure, Be Prepared for Medical Appointments, available at ahrq.gov/consumer. That's ahrq.gov/consumer. A message from the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality.
Back in business with Mike Whitaker. I'm Gary Owen. Mike Whitaker is a CEO. He's a business coach and advisor. He also does business workshops. And by the way, if you're interested in having Mike speak at your organization or you'd like to talk to him about doing a workshop to help get your business back on track, just visit MikeWhitaker.com. That's Mike Whitaker with one T, MikeWhitaker.com. Mike, we're talking this show about downsizing and right-sizing the business. What's the difference?
Well, neither one is fun. Downsizing and right-sizing. Right-sizing is the positive way of saying I'm cutting down my business, cutting expenses. And I like to have fun in business. This is one of those unfun topics, but we're going to get through it as responsible managers. Two things to think about on right-sizing the business, which means adjusting to existing cash flow. One is why. Recession is on. The behavior of buyers is crazy. And the problem is that purchasing is down 15 to 20% on average.
Wow.
Because of this disruption, everyone's business, which was structured for 100% of expectation, is now trying to operate at 75%. And we do not know how long that's going to last. For essential products and services, the numbers aren't so bad, But if you have an extreme luxury product and niche market, you may be okay too. But everyone in the middle who sells a slight luxury or a new version of something we already own and are more likely to fix now, it's an absolute free-for-all right now. And, people are going to be fixing their cars mm-hmm. instead of buying new. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a habit. I wrote another article called Wear It Out America, where I'm remembering when we used to fix stuff like shoe repair, patching jeans, appliance repair shops. Those are all went away. They're going to come back. So the first one is obviously the why of downsizing is we have a recession. And then point two is important. because these both require you to make some hard decisions, is the duration. You can't know how long this is going to last. You know, the behavior of government and the reaction of consumers to that behavior, we just cannot predict. I wrote an article recently on resetting the business opportunity compass. And that article talked about, you know, this whole group of people who made a living in transaction services, what are they going to do now? And, you know, these are the investment bankers, the mortgage brokers, the real estate brokers, appraisers, auditors, attorneys, stockbrokers, consultants, staff and agencies, all those support people and all their retail people they bought from. Everyone who was making a living from a 15-year flow of easier credit and expanded debt leverage. It felt good, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But that's over for a while. And, you know, we all probably know at least one person that's in that group, and their numbers had exploded to meet the artificially high demand. Well, where is their opportunity now? Until that group gets re-ingrained in new value business, the duration of this recession is going to be hanging out there. And so since we don't know how long it's going to last, we have to say, with a reduced amount of income in the business, what do we do to right-size it? You know, and I think of like a custom-tailored suit. You know, when we gain weight, things get tight. When we lose weight, things get loose. Well, we need to make some adjustments, you know, to something that, again, feels like it's custom tailored to our revenue that's coming into the business. And what does a good fit feel like? You know, at home, we can all relate to what we bring home is a little bit more than what we spend, hopefully. And in business, right now, I would say, you know, you need to have some reserves, but just don't be in the red. And you have to cut back and adjust your major expenses, things like rent, payroll, raw goods, inventory you're carrying, professional services you're outsourcing to. You look at all those big numbers and you say, what can I do with this number? What can I trim back? And you're going to have some pretty brutal conversations we'll talk about in the next segment. But you're going to reduce the number of things that are costing. You're writing checks for each month. You're going to reduce maybe the hours of per person you're letting people work. You're going to reduce the amounts you pay per hour. You may reduce headcount. All these things you have to take a look at. Now, there's going to be damage done. Know that now. But it's very important that you know you get to choose what kind of damage you will do early. You don't get to choose later. Early on, you can choose damage of just damaging your future growth rate. If you cut back on staff, for example, or you cut back a product line or stop a new venture that's burning cash, those slow your growth, but they didn't hurt your brand. The worst thing you can do is make cuts that affect your brand. If you're known for something in particular, a quality deliverable of a product or a service, don't mess with that. You're just going to do it with less people, or you're going to do it with less fanfare, but make sure you can only deliver the thing you're known for, because that's the last thing you want to hurt by the cuts you're going to make.
Right. And, you know, of course, then it's an emotional – these are emotional decisions too, because we're attached to people and we're attached to the inner relationships we have, and so it makes it difficult. Is this personal or just business, do you think?
You know, it's both. It's hard. I feel like I'm captain of a ship, and I have to make sure this thing can reach port safely, and my first concern is the overall health of the business. Everyone that's on it only is going to be helped if the business makes it. And, you know, that's a true win-win. You know, the consequences of not acting now, when you have a strong hunch that you should be changing your personal, your business financial spending rate, consequences are very high. You know, where you know you should be right-sizing to fit your cash flow that you have today. You know, I'll share an example, you know, and I'm reminded about that, you know, 1983, 1987, 1992, 2002, This recession is worse than the four last cycles that I recall that I went through. And I understand that we need to separate ourselves from the business enough to be able to look at the business as a patient on an operating table. And we wheel that as a business manager, we wheel that patient in front of everyone who expects money from us. And we say, hey, you know, I can't perform miracles. We look at everybody, our vendor, our landlord, our bank, our employees, and we say, you know, my customers are not buying right now, and this is a serious reality we must face. This patient needs some relief. And the point is that the people around the business need to sober up and be practical. Everyone who wants money from the business has to chill out and realize that there's only so much coming in. So stories like this are a result. You know, and a friend owes a bank $700,000 on a line of credit, and the business isn't going to make its services payments, and it isn't going to be able to make all the payments to its vendors. So everyone's going to have to take a haircut if the business is going to survive.
So how hard do these right-sizing conversations get?
Well, about this hard. You know, again, this the same fellow walks into a meeting with his banker, and he He puts two envelopes on the table, and after they exchange hellos, he points to one envelope and he says, "This is a check for $100,000, and it's all I can scrape together and still hold the business together. And if you cash it, we are settled up. But the other envelope is my bankruptcy filing, and if you don't take this check, I'm filing bankruptcy immediately after our meeting." Now, that is reality. Now, that's a conversation that can be had at every level of people that the business owes money. Simply, you can settle with them, or they can work with you. You know, that if you're playing by the rules and you're doing all the things you should be doing and you still don't have the cash flow, you have to have these discussions. You know, my number one rule in business is always give the other person the opportunity to be a jerk. Never be the first. Give the person you're trying to convince a chance to work with you and show you some flexibility. And if, for example, you say to your landlord, "I don't need as many square feet right now and I can't afford this level of rent. I need to modify my lease." And the landlord says, "We've got a legal lease agreement. If you don't pay your rent, you'll be hearing from our attorney." You've just given the other guy a chance to be reasonable and he's refused. So you know that you know what you do now. The heck with him. Don't they believe you? They don't want you to survive? Tell everybody, "Here's the facts, Jack. The point is there's not enough dollars floating around in commerce to keep my business afloat and all the costs that I could once afford to pay. It just isn't there." So these are the conversations that are happening, and they're going to increase.
That's amazing. We have about a minute before the break here. I think as people listen to what you're saying, a lot of this, as I stipulated a while ago, is these are really tough decisions and conversations, and they're very emotional. They're very painful in this kind of economy. How do we deal with that emotion?
You know, the entrepreneur, and I'm very much a serial entrepreneur, I like building things.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like tearing them down.
Yeah,
it harms to the core my spirit. So you look at the business you've built and you say, "I don't want to tear this down." In 2003, we had a brief recession in manufacturing business I was part of after we attacked Iraq and everyone got scared. And I cut the business down as far as I could justify without taking apart some major components and departments. And I said to finally myself and my whole team, I said, "That's it. We're not cutting anymore. If we can't make it at this level, then I'm okay with that." So it's tough.
Coming up, how to right-size the workforce. These are tough decisions, but decisions that have to be made. When we return with In Business with Mike Whitaker. If your company event, sales team, or management team could use a shot on the arm with a strategic message or solution, Mike Whitaker is available as a speaker or advisor on topics of confidence, getting control, increasing sales, and business strategy. For details on how you can get Mike Whitaker to be a speaker or advisor for your organization, call 877-843-4110. That's 877-THE-4110 for details. Or visit MikeWhitaker.com.
There are quite literally dozens of words referring to a woman's breasts, some whimsical, some unflattering or crude. But one thing is clear: Americans seem obsessed with this part of the female anatomy. Sometimes an obsession can prove positive, like when it promotes greater awareness and increased funding to fight breast cancer. Unfortunately, another kind of cancer causes almost twice as many deaths among women. That's why we'd appreciate it if the next time you referred to a woman's pair of lungs, you actually meant her lungs. Lung cancer kills over 70,000 women a year. And while lung cancer rates have decreased for men in the last 20 years, they've been rising for women. So talk to your friends, family, and doctor. Obsess all you want over that set of lungs you can't live without. For answers to questions, log on to our website, nationallungcancerpartnership.org. The National Lung Cancer Partnership. Women. Research. Change.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
Find out more about Mike Whitaker and how his confidence products and programs will give you the edge in business. Visit MikeWhitaker.com. That's Mike Whitaker with a one T, MikeWhitaker.com. I say that because I know some Whitakers, they spell it with two T's, don't they?
Don't know any, but yeah.
I think they do. So they want to make sure that you're back in business with Mike Whitaker. We're talking about downsizing and right-sizing your business. So, Mike, let's talk about right-sizing the workforce.
Well, it comes down to one of our biggest expenses is payroll. And, you know, I suggest we go to our employees and say, okay, our sales are down 20% or whatever the number is. And you say the company has absorbed the extra burden as much as possible, but now we need to cut payroll 20% across the board. You know, it's a conversation. They have ideas too. You can get into flexible work hours. You could go to 4 to 4 out of 5 days, reduce the hours by 20%. I would do that for everyone but salespeople who should be working 120%. But you have to have the conversation. You know, look at the natural behavior of employees when things do slow down anyway. You know, they slow down. They make jobs last. They create busy work. I don't blame them. Just that there's inefficiencies in the business, and the business is just burning good cash to maintain today when, you know, it could save that cash. So it's a good policy right now just to throw out some honesty.
I want to interject something here. When people hear that the workforce should be working at 120%, how do you get them to do that?
Well, salespeople. Now, what I mean with salespeople is salespeople can burn it when they need to burn it. Salespeople prospecting out there. You want the salespeople really motivated and incented to bring in those sales.
But now you're a motivator. How do you get someone motivated to be charged?
That's a completely extra show. But, you know, it has a lot to do with your incentive plan. In sales, you know, right now I would be putting a super incentive on any new accounts. It's a mistake of the manager to ever say, I'm worried about my salespeople making too much money. Absolute a mistake. So, yeah. I was talking about honesty, and there's a lot of fear right now, and people's fears are sometimes worse than reality. So if you get the word out and explain to your people, here's what's going on, here's where our revenue is, here's what we can afford to do. If you want the business to make it, everyone needs to rally. And that's – you will find the right solutions, but you can't just hang on because everyone – you know, I love the phrase, when there's an elephant in the room, introduce him. The elephant in the room is there's not enough work for this many people to be doing, and we can't afford it very long. So these conversations are going to increase, in fact, and these are not leading indicators of a recession. I think they're lagging indicators. That we're talking about the tough conversations you have with your employees or your bank or your vendors or anyone you pay cash outlays to, because nobody wants to fess up now or early that they can't pay their bills. But it's going on all over America, and no one wants to talk about it. So what happens is the business slowly bleeds out its available cash, and it has no reserves to fix itself. And right-sizing takes money. The sooner you do it, the sooner you're on the road to something that can last in a different economy. And so you're not afraid to ask everyone for relief. And by the way, nobody wants to take you to court. So if that ever bothers you, don't worry about it. The courts are inept at helping people collect money from you. It just doesn't work out profitably to take you to court. It makes more sense for people to work with you on what you can afford to pay. And that in business, a lot of these factors you did not create. It's just the circumstances.
So, Mike, how do you summarize today's topic?
Well, the bottom line is you have to right-size the ship. Personally and in business, you have to assume rough waters ahead, and you have an obligation to create certainty that the ship will not capsize. I mean, certainty is created by knowing your costs and leaving hope out of the equation. Hope is a dangerous thing in business. People rely upon it way too much. Bottom line for me is instead of leaning on hope, I try to get confidence in my cash inflow and outflows and my plan. I right-size for my own peace of mind and the good of the organization. And then if I had to make some tough decisions and I had to let some good people go, or I had to cut out and quit paying a vendor that's been loyal to me. Remember, I did it for the sake of the business being around tomorrow. And if the business is around tomorrow, those folks have a chance again to benefit from the business. But if we kill the business and everybody takes a piece of the pie, there's nothing left to divide up.
Right, I know that as part of this program, you're going to invite listeners to ask questions. And we took some questions early on that you've got some answers for. So why don't you talk about this week's Q&A?
We love listener questions. So you can go to our website and you can submit any question you want to the radio show. And we've had some this week on the downsizing topic. And one question was, what happens if I cut my staff and business comes back? Well, that's called a furlough. If you've got good people and if your business can jump back 10%, all of a sudden you're going to need them. Put them on a technical furlough and you can instantly hire them back. The health programs allow you to put them back on health care immediately. But you can have kind of a ready to go. But hey, there's not a lot of other jobs right now. So if you have to cut people and the business comes back, you're probably going to be able to, if you've been good to them, get them back. But everyone understands what's going on. So I ask you not to worry about that. If business comes back, what a wonderful problem to have versus the other side, yeah, which I haven't cut and business it doesn't come back. Mm-hmm. Another question was, what if I can cut enough expense to get back to profitability, but how do I know I've cut enough? You know, this is where you need a good CFO person that can run the financial pro formas to tell you, does your current model you've cut to work for certain levels of sales? I used a company locally called CFO Partner. It's in fact, it's cfo-partner.com, and I used them for 5 years to model my business and really optimize my cash flow. Mm-hmm. And they really helped me do that, and I encourage anyone to seek out a professional just to model their business and look at how they're spending money, and that they can know what their break-even sales number is every month, and they know what to cut out. So the last question I just loved because I relate to it. The question was, do I downsize me or downsize the business? And this was from a business owner who'd been in the business as a manager. And I guess he was saying that, you know, I guess he could cut himself and let everyone else keep their job, or he could cut them and he could have a more job than he wanted. My answer there is you have to decide what's most important to you. You know, if it's payroll money, do you have to cut? You know, there are two choices you have. Number one, the business is going to keep growing with other people, and you are not going to be the sole proprietor stuck inside it. Or two, your income is more important than anything else, including the income of others. You know, you get to pick one. And the reason you have to decide this, and I've done this myself, is that when I was faced with a cash shortage or an opportunity to hire talent I couldn't afford, in both instances, I chose to cut my salary. Now, my wife worked at the time. We buckled down with a reduction in my income, but I still worked in the business. However, I refused to be stuck in the business that wasn't going anywhere if I didn't show up every day. I define entrepreneur as someone who builds something that they can walk away from someday with a check in their hand. And I couldn't see getting to that point if I let go of my top talent in favor of myself. But I understand if your income is the most important thing, then you know that you have to put yourself first. You cut the talent you can live without and hire it again when you can afford it. But you put yourself first and make sure everyone else has a financial incentive to pull the business into a growth mode. You know, in a hybrid solution, sometimes this gives a business owner an opportunity to advance their successor in the business. You go to them, you say, I'm going to advance you up. I'm going to work with you and train you. And then the owner gets to work a little less time, reduce their pay, while training their replacement. So you can rechannel that extra time into another business or your family or school or whatever else you want to do as an entrepreneur. But these opportunities, you know, you have to make some of those tough decisions. And so I think downsize me or the business, depends on what you put first. I vote for the entrepreneur.
Want to tell you that you can get the top 10 questions that you can ask yourself about right-sizing your situation both personally and professionally by signing up for Mike's free electronic newsletter, Smart Biz. By going to his website at the bottom of the homepage, you'll see the very brief form. Your email address is never shared with anyone, so feel free to sign up. And by signing up, you will have access to more content that can help you and the business you do each day. It's a very informative website, MikeWhitaker.com.
All right. Well, what we want to do now is finish our topic, as we will each week. And this time, you know, I want to look at it a little bit more positively that while we talk about tough subjects like downsizing, I know it's no fun. Let's remember that the smart business person is at least proactive, meaning that he or she takes action before things get out of control. You know, this recession is serious, and a lot of business people are still waiting and spending energy hoping that things will go back to where they were before. It's not going to happen anytime soon. This is an economic reset, meaning that all dials have been reset to a lower setting. You know, if your business is, you know, in your lifestyle boiled nicely at 212 degrees, you must figure out how it's going to boil now at 180 degrees, or you'll be a victim of your own inaction. You know, right-sizing your personal and business life allows you to take more control over your future, and that added sense of control will deliver more confidence to you every day. It's not fun, but you'll be glad you did. and be proud that you're willing to consider the alternatives, then you've got the courage to act, because not everyone will. You know, but these are the times that reveal the true leaders in society. Sometimes a leader has to take one step back to go two steps forward in life, you know, and in business.
We've got some new features on the program that I want to tease here, that attitude is everything. And when we come back, you're going to be talking about something we're going to feature each week called the Weekly Attitude Inventory. That should be kind of fun. Can you tease us a little bit about that?
Sure, I do. I've got a lot of attitude today. We're going to talk about in this particular inventory on attitude is how do we feel about our sense of control over our successes that we create each day, our attitude about who's in charge of my success today, because we ultimately have the keys.
Don't go away. We'll be back with In Business with Mike Whitaker. Not every business or entrepreneur knows what to do next. Many business strategies are old, ineffective, and cannot raise investment dollars. If your department or company wants to find strategic advantages that you can use to leap forward, the team at Idea Gateway is available. Idea Gateway specializes in fixing business models and building growth strategies, and they don't waste your time or theirs. Simple results with Idea Gateway. Call 918-528-3800 or visit ideagateway.com.
In a world where your tires are your only connection to the road, one man, four tires, free air. An epic battle against underinflation, tire damage, and even tire failure. In the ultimate fight for properly inflated tires, the warrior gives his heart, his soul, to keep those he loves safe on the road. Tires will inflate. Money will be saved. A message from the Rubber Manufacturers Association.
Back in business with Mike Whitaker, your business expert. Mike is a CEO. He's an advisor. He's a coach. He's a hardworking guy. This man, you're a machine. That's all I can say. That's the
entrepreneur's got to be a machine.
And you know, I guess to be successful in business, as I've gotten to know you and know all the things that you do, you have to have good work ethics. You've got to have an attitude about yourself, and that's what we want to talk about now is our weekly attitude inventory.
You know, the attitude's taken a lot of shots at the confidence in the last year with all my goals being reset as a business person, which I assume a lot of folks share. All right, today's attitude inventory is we're going to talk about how you see results being created in your life. And first of all, think about it when you get up every day. You know, are you the hammer or are you the nail? You know, does success happen to you or do you believe it's created by you? A lot of folks get up every day and they think that how good the day is and how good the success has come in as a result of things happening to them. And it's quite the opposite. You have to get out of bed with your attitude saying, I'm going to go create something today. So that it makes you know, how accountable do you make yourself for your results? You know, do you really believe and have confidence in your ability to affect your financial future and your business? This relates directly to today's topic, right-sizing. When the economy improves, you can always buy another boat or hire people back that you've had to let go. If you want to improve your attitude right now, make a plan to right-size the things in your life that are anchors around your neck today that give you a helpless feeling. Your attitude will improve immediately when you know you've made some tough decisions that bring you more freedom and flexibility. And if you run a business, you are obligated to carry a genuine success attitude and demonstrate to everyone else that the business has a survival plan. Confidence in your plan for tomorrow determines your attitude today. So, Gary, what the thing that makes my confidence higher is a good plan. So this is where you pull in your financial guru. You look at your costs. You look at your revenue. You find out what your revenue projections are. And you just adjust the business to something that will survive. And immediately you will feel better, because you realize I'm not in the red, I'm not burning as bad as I was. This thing has life. And if your business doesn't have any issues, then your attitude should be great. And you're exceptional. So that's this week's attitude inventory, you know. Picture yourself. Are you the hammer or are you the nail?
Do you think a lot of people who are struggling financially, they just don't want to deal with it? They just are they in denial, or they just hide it and go, I'm just going to take a day at a time?
It's just counterintuitive. We don't think about unweaving the rug. We don't think about tearing down what we've been building. So our attitude used to be based upon prosperity that was coming with a rolling economy. Now your attitude has to be more personal. It has to be based upon your confidence in what you know you can go do. And you're out there racing and competing against everyone else that gets up every day. And you just have to believe that I'm in control and I'm going to go make the success happen. Your attitude will determine whether or not you get the business or the other guy gets the business.
You got to surround yourself, too, with positive thinking people. I mean,
they really stand out if they're
yes,
not.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Negativism really has an effect on your psyche. And so if you're in that doldrum where you're concerned about your business and you're worried about things, collaborate with other business people who are in the same bucket you're in and find ways, get ideas. I mean, that's like this show. Listening to the show is a great idea for you.
I tell you this, in this economy and with the downsizing, there is no room for a negative person in the business. If you're cutting people out of the business and you've got that person that cannot find a positive spin, who's a negative muckraker, mm-hmm. hit the red eject button, because if you're going to be cutting out people, don't send out a positive one when you can keep when you're keeping a negative one. It is ridiculous. So let's move on to the next inventory, which is a weekly feature. It's the Should I Do My Own Thing inventory.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that is for the folks who will be considering maybe doing their own business. And we'll always want to touch on this topic for them.
And with this economic climate, is it a good time to start a business? Depends on what the business
is. You've got to be thinking about it at least part-time, and that's today's point. There's a video on my website, if you look at the video archive, about should I do my own thing, and there's five major tips or criteria that you should think about. And it's a very short video, so it's worth your time if you're thinking about it. One facet about that is timing issues. You know, I think a lot of folks need part-time or just a secondary job right now, and I think you can be a part-time entrepreneur anytime you want to be. All you have to do is allocate the time and start making yourself practice the thinking and pretend you might be going full-time and take it very seriously. But today's Should I Do My Own Thing inventory is, do you have the ability to try something part-time and test the waters? Because you never know. You might really need it, you might really like it, or you might find out you really hate it. And that even that tells you something, and you should be aware of it. So
what kind of resources can we suggest for new business people?
Well, there's some really good websites. OKStartup.com. For the Oklahoma listeners, it's OKStartup.com. That's Department of Commerce, and there's a lot of good stuff in there for new businesses and a lot of free resources. One of my favorite private and public enterprises is Innovation Enterprise. That's I2E.org. That's three letters, I2E.org. Amazing group. They have everything from business plan reviews all the way up to helping you pitch in front of venture capitalists, and it's a great resource. There's a new one in Tulsa called the Tulsa Collaboratorium, and that's Tulsa Collab, collab.com, and that is a new place that new businesses can go, and they can apply to be part of a very entrepreneurial, very upstart environment, and some very fine people running and pushing that that organization to get new businesses developed in the Tulsa area. And the OKStateChamber.com is another place that you can find a lot of resources. So those are the four we like to refer to.
Now, another weekly habit is our customer shot on the arm segment. What can listeners do to wow their customers?
You know, I try to think of one thing every week in my businesses that I can do to wow the customers. It's a good exercise. If it's Friday morning and you haven't yet thought that week of what you're going to do to wow your customers, it's a great exercise to force yourself and your team to do it. So this week, the shot in the arm is this. You know, rather than talking to your customers about reducing your price because they're asking you how they can save money, go to them and offer to review all aspects of taking costs out of the entire product or process. For example, packaging. You know, one of our manufacturing companies, we went to our customer and said, you know, we're putting in a box inside a box, and we're putting this many boxes on a pallet, and if we restack it and take out one of these containers, we can save you X amount of dollars. They loved it. They didn't need it. Logistics. Did you really need that in 3-day freight? Maybe you could do it a week. Maybe that'd be fine. Return processes, warranty claims, extra paperwork. You know, when you go to your customer and say, let's take some costs out of your overall process, that beats them to the punch of coming to you and asking you for a discount, and that's the customer shot in the arm. They'll respect you for it in the morning.
If your listeners can't tell, Mike has a lot of passion for succeeding in business. So each week we're going to let Mike blow off some steam in what he calls Mike's soapbox rant. Now brace yourself for this one.
Well, I hear a lot of people venting lately. You know, I talk to a lot of different groups, and there's this group of entrepreneurs and business owners, and they talk about going down with the ship, meaning that, you know, if the business is going to start to fail, they start to fail with it. And it's the person starts to fail in their mind with the business. Now, this is the part I want to rant about. There's nothing noble about the entrepreneur going down with the business. Listen, you, the entrepreneur, you are rare. There's a shortage of people in this country who have the guts, the creativity, and the expertise to build a business that creates jobs. That is how new wealth will be created in this country, especially in this economy. There is a shortage of you. If you don't separate yourself from the business in terms of your worth to society, then what happens is you think you have to save the business at all costs, even to your personal demise. What if I told you that you are a good entrepreneur, you know your business, but you're in construction right now? Well, the construction business may be horrible. Does that make you a bad business person? No, it doesn't. But how do you feel right now? You have to separate your sense of self-worth as an entrepreneur from the business condition. You probably didn't create the change in the last year. Now, if you created it, you know, doing things the right way, doing things by the book, and honestly, with your best effort, and they still aren't working, man, I'm in your corner, because there are so many variables that you are not in control of affecting your business success. And my interest is preserving the entrepreneur, not applying a Band-Aid only to your business. This show is for the person. This is for you. If you don't create the business number one and then business number two, society's not better off. Our small business club needs to be larger. You know, the government is moving things the other direction. On this show, we'll talk about your business, but in today's topic of downsizing, you have to separate yourself from the present circumstances. Now, if you've cut corners and been dishonest in the business, I can't help you. A thief and a corner cutter are not an entrepreneur, just an opportunist. If you're doing things the right way, thinking things through, and you need confidence in a plan, it's okay to make adjustments now. If you're riding a dead horse, call it what it is, a hobby, and find a new ride. The sooner you act, the better you will feel, and the more flexible you will be as an entrepreneur. That's my rant.
Great stuff, Mike. I want to tell our audience that I hope that you as listeners are gaining some good insight about business. Now, Mike, you're the expert. What do you want our listeners to get out of this, or what do you hope they get out of this in the next few weeks?
I want them to get a plan, get excited, lean forward, get confidence, kick some butt in business, and realize that not everyone else is thinking boldly. Don't be timid. Go out and make it happen.
Do you think that people are intimidated about because of the economy, because of the fear of, you know, some people may need to get a business loan. Some people may already have investment dollars ready to put into a business, but they're a little hesitant. What do you say to those people?
I would say run the business as if you're always going to own the business and this economy is not going to change. In other words, don't wait to act. Just given the circumstances, act accordingly. There's nothing, you're not waiting on anything. There is not going to be any magic bell that rings and says, and the economy's back. Ding, ding. That isn't going to happen. So just get it through your head that you got to act as you need to act right now, and it's a reset in for your business. And those that do it early are going to be out ahead.
Now, we talked about downsizing and right-sizing this week. Those of you who are listening that are right at that point of trying to make some financial decisions and a little nervous about making the right decisions, you got any thoughts for them?
I would ask you to go with your gut. Don't worry about being popular. Don't worry about some very difficult verbal fistfight conversations with people that expect you to pay them money. You need to do what's best to keep the business afloat. If you do that, you've done your job as captain of that ship.
Now, we told you earlier in the program, I want to remind you again about the Frequent Listener Program. We want you to start your list this week with keyword, one per week, to win Mike's new book, Entrepreneur Prison, as well as be featured on our show if you can email all 10 of the keywords from the first 10 shows. Now, this week's word is confidence. That's the key word, so we want you to start your list, write that word down, confidence. And Mike, of course, you've got a final thought, too, for our listeners.
Well, first of all, listeners, we need to hear from you. What did you like about this show? You know, what about it did you not like? You know, the topics that we feature, those are coming from what we're hearing in the field. What would you like to hear about? Your feedback is very important, and you can either email to comments@mikewhitaker.com or go to our website and under the radio show section, submit a question or comment. We want to hear from you. You're very important.
And by the way, we want to tell you that, again, you're going to see some and read some exciting things. There's some great tips Mike has written on his website. He's got some video advice for you, different subjects that you're going to want to thumb through. And you're going to keep those fresh as well. I mean, he's going to constantly be updating those. And as you listen to this show, we certainly hope that you, our listeners, will gain new insight about business. And again, those of you who are not in business, if you're working for a business that you feel is maybe sluggish, or you being the working employee, or perhaps you're a manager or a supervisor, and you're seeing some things that could be done better, maybe need a shot in the arm. Maybe you can get your employers to get to listening to this program. Send them to Mike's website, because here's where you're going to gain some insight and knowledge that's not going to cost you a penny. I mean, some people pay thousands of dollars for this kind of information, and you're getting it right here on the radio. So we want you to tune in every week on Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. for In Business with Mike Whitaker. It's great stuff, and we certainly hope that you'll be a loyal listener here every week. In the meantime, we do want to say to you that, again, don't forget the website, because that's real important. And again, it is MikeWhitaker.com. And remember, Whitaker is spelled with one T, because there are some Whitakers out there that spell it with two. So don't forget to sign up to receive the top 10 questions that you can ask yourself about right-sizing, about your situation, both personally and professionally, with our electronic newsletter, Smart Biz, at MikeWhitaker.com.
And I'm Mike Whitaker, the Defender-in-Chief of the American Entrepreneur. Get your thoughts together over the weekend and have confidence that you will go make it a great week.
And I'm Gary Owen. Mike, we'll see you next week. Back in business with Mike Whitaker.